Hello everyone, Neil Patelia, thank you for downloading the latest episode of the Indian Startup Show. So this episode is brought to you by Manning. Manning is an independent publisher of computer books and video courses for software developers, engineers, architects, system administrators, managers, and all who are professionally involved with the computer business. And now for all you special Indian Startup Show listeners, you can get 40% off all Manning products. Please use discount code PODINSTARTUP19. That's PODINSTARTUP19. I use Manning in my own software development career. It's helped me build awesome web apps, mobile apps, voice apps, helps me debug code and getting my head around test-driven development and also preparing me for those technical pair programming interviews and much, much more. So it's great to have them on board. So our latest Manning titles include Zero to AI, Fighting Churn with Data and Machine Learning for Business. Manning Publications now offers regional pricing for Indian residents. Check out manning.com for pricing in rupees. So if you want to build the next big thing, check out manning.com and use discount code PODINSTARTUP19 and you will get 40% off all Manning products. On with the show!
Financial discipline is as good as doing a yoga or anything because it's about your mental health. So it really affects you badly if your financial discipline is not so great. So it's as good as having a fitness regime, having a yoga regime. Similarly, you should have a good financial discipline around it.
That is my guest Satyam Kumar. Satyam is the CEO and co-founder of LoanTap. LoanTap is a digital lending platform for salaried employees. They are one of the fastest growing fintech startups in India. So in this exciting episode, he talks about raising $22 million in funding from bootstrapping the business only 3 years ago. Amazing stuff. He talks about the Indian lending ecosystem, digital marketing strategies, including Diwali marketing strategies. He talks about mistakes startups make when pitching to investors, learn how they deal with fraud, and finally some financial advice as well. So please enjoy the show. Thank you. Hello, Satyam. Thank you for coming on the Indian Startup Show today.
Hello, Neil. It's great to be on the Indian Startup Show today.
Please tell the listeners what you do.
So we've co-founded a company called LoanTap, which is in a financial services domain. And the way we have been doing this business is that this business has been about 3 years old, and it has been founded on the back of the fundamentals that the products which is being served to the Indian consumers are not differentiated. Everyone is getting essentially the same product in a canned manner. So you have a take it or a leave it approach as far as the large financial institutions are concerned. And people have not really approached the market from a differentiation point of view. Mm-hmm. So what we are trying to do is that we are trying to differentiate the product for the consumer as it suits to them. So, mm-hmm. I mean, one of the key criterias which we use in the product side is fit to pocket criteria for every user. And that's something which is technologically possible. So we are using technology to customize essentially a similar set of product.
How does it work then? So I have to have a job first and then I go onto your website. Is that right?
Yes. So we typically try to cater to slightly urban millennials. So, I mean, the idea is that you need to understand the internet, so which is physically happens in India because the discovery cycle starts from the internet, and you need to have a job. So there has to be a salary slip and there has to be a bank statement where the salary gets credited. As far as the identity in India is concerned, it's fairly defined between Aadhaar stack and the other KYC norms. So you have to have KYC guideline has to be followed as far as the regulator is concerned. But other than that, yes, you look at our income, you look at people's stability. So there is a whole lot of algos around their job stability, around the location stability, whether the person is living in a particular city for a long time, and also about our ability to reach back to him. Because our loans are stretches as long as 5 years, so almost about 16 months. So it is not about, hand loan for 10 days or 5 days. These loans are, as I say, there are like wedding expenses in India is fairly high. I mean, I think about 10 lakh rupees in Indian currency. So, these are huge numbers which we cater to from our previous learning.
What's the sort of minimum salary that I need to have then?
So 30,000 per month. So that works to about $300, $400.
Excellent. And what's the interest rate?
So the interest rate is more on a utilization pattern basis. So one of our key products is like which we call it overdraft product, where you can use a lakh of rupees for as low as 50 rupees per day. So less than a dollar you pay for a day, and you can use it. You can repay back. It functions like a revolving credit facility. Use it for a day, you pay back. So if you have a slightly higher tax deduction at the end of the month and you are really short of money, you can use it for 5 days, repay back, again draw down. So what we are trying to do is that we are trying to give a convenience which runs at par with a credit card kind of a convenience. And the credit card interest rate in India runs at around 3% monthly. We run at about 0.5% monthly. So it's about 50% of the interest rate at what you will run a credit card.
I mean, what happens if I give you false information then? You know, I could give you like a fake payslip.
Oh, that's that is one of the key challenges in India, Indian banking system. More so globally also for the fintechs, because you know, I mean, people say that hey, you are not touching and seeing me, so whatever I give you is the right, and you go ahead and you process it. So we have, we have created something called fraud sandbox, and when you look at underwriting, then you at the time of underwriting you essentially look at a convergence of the data. So you try to pick up data from multiple sources. And you create an image of the customer which fits into your lending model, and you go ahead and approve a loan, or you go ahead and do a loan. But beyond that, what we have done is that we have created a gate before the final loan is done in the system. And that gate is called fraud sandbox. Now here you look at a divergence of the data. So like if you say it's about like only your date of birth. So in India you report a date of birth to PAN bureaus, income tax database, which is a PAN card. Then you report the date of birth also to your driving license guys. You report your date of birth in multiple times. Your salary slip also carries the date of birth. So one single data. One single input has been captured in the last 5 or 7 years of your journey by multiple institutions in India. And most of these institutions are able to provide the data checks to you through an API framework. So you run a real-time check on alternate data databases, and you say whether there is a divergence of the data. So similarly, on a study also, you run a checks on the spending pattern, whether that's commensurate with the salary or not. You look at the credits, you look at the regulatory of credit, you look at a salary slip, and you also look at a like a PF. In India you have a system called where everyone has to deposit we call it PF, so it's for pension funds kind of a scheme, which has a rationale that this much of percentage will go to the PF. So you also have that database where you go and check and you try to plot whether this kind of a salary is for this person or not. So you try to recheck the data which has been submitted by the customer from multiple agencies and the sources which is available in the public domain, where you are not really trying to intrude on a personal domain. These are the public data which you try to do it wherever there is a consent requirement. You go with the consent route. And if there is no consent requirement, like if you want to check his employer category, that what kind of employer he's working with, so you have a data currently available stock exchanges in India, which is as a regulatory filing, it gets uploaded. So there's no consent requirement there. You can just go ahead and check those data. So this is what we do as far as the underwriting methodology is concerned, and how we prevent fraud. So to tell you the truth, when we started the business in the first 6 months, we got hit by 3 transactions, which was fraud transactions. And post that, we implemented this fraud sandbox as on priority. And after that, in last 2 financial year, we have a 0 credit loss on account of fraud.
Oh, that's good. Excellent. Yeah, let's talk about the early days then. How long did it take you to get the first customer?
Retail assets is relatively, as I said, it's a regulator, plays an important role. So the first customer we could acquire or we could lend was almost about 4 months down the line. We started the business in May, and we started preparing the tech stack and all those stuffs. And also we parallelly were pushing the regulators for the approvals. And in the August 9th, the first loan that we did.
Can you remember what it was, or what who it was, or how much it was?
Oh yes, yes. So we did 3 loans on the first day, and each of the loan was about 3 lakh and 1 lakh. So we had roughly 5 lakh of a dispersal on day one.
Okay. Looking back, then would you change anything in them 6 months?
Looking back, I would not say that I would change anything. But post that, also in last 1 year, the journey in the Indian fintech sector has been very challenging, because one of the things which has happened is that you come with a hypothesis where you say that you should have measured approach, and because it's a lending business, it is not something where you just want to create a platform play, or it's not a GMV business and all. So that is something which initially we were talking, and we were not having too many buyers as far as the investment community was concerned for the way we were proposing the thing. But now 3 years down the line, when you are seeing the both globally as well as domestically, banks and financial institutions facing serious meltdown issues, serious NPA problems and all, and then you say that, hey, thank God we had perseverance to stick to the basics of lending, and we didn't got carried away, we didn't get pushed into it. So 3 years down the line, you feel vindicated about what you set out to do, you feel good about it. So last 1 year, particularly in Indian lending ecosystem, has been very challenging. You had lots of giants falling down. In terms of their fraud hit, in terms of the customer qualities and all, and holding on in this environment, growing the business, doing successive fundraise whenever you needed, that has been one of the biggest thing that we have managed at Loan Capital.
But obviously you've worked in finance then, so I'm assuming you had connections to get invested, is that right?
That didn't help. So in Indian financial system, as I said earlier, the institution worked in a vertical structure. So I worked in a banking ecosystem, and I worked into the retail banking arm on a lending side. Okay. So I didn't really had a connect on the financial institutions group on a borrowing side. So I never managed the liability side of the business. I managed the asset side of the business in the banking system. So the doing the loan came easily to me, but borrowing didn't come easily to me, because the borrowing in the entire career, I did retail loans, and these borrowings are institutional borrowing and institutional capital raising. So yeah, from that point of view, for both me and my founder, doing this part of the learning was most challenging.
For our listeners, what do you think the common mistakes are when reaching out to investors?
So one of the things that we make a fundamental mistake is that after we meet 4 or 5 investors, we see initial rejections or non-interest, then we go back and see the start tweaking the model. Hey, this doesn't look to be working. But I believe the models are more about your conviction. So if you are convinced in a particular model, so the investor ecosystem is also very large, just like the startups who are trying to borrow from them. And you will definitely meet out of 50 or 100 outreaches, you will meet 2 or 3 who buy into your argument, or who also wishes to invest into a domain and test out a domain that you are doing in. So many times investors have their own philosophy. What we try to do is that, hey, he didn't like the model, but it is more about we didn't fit into his philosophy. So he has a philosophy which is driven by his global IC, or it may be driven by his domestic ICs, and the model has to fit into that, because most of the time nobody wants to take humongous effort in trying and change the policy, whether it's in their organization or whatever. Try to have they create a model, and the model has to fit into that. If it fits, they are more than happy, and it's more about evaluation discussions and go ahead. But what we as a founder we take this no as a no to our model or a no to us. So that's one of the mistake that we do at the time of fundraise, and we feel let down about it.
Did you take it personally, or
Unlike most of the founders that you see in the startup ecosystem, fairly young, just out of college, heavily charged with the emotions and all. We came with almost about 2 decades of experience, gone through ups and downs in personal career, managed board, managed the investor sentiments for the larger organizations. It was under a different umbrella, but it was less heartburn for us. You definitely felt that, hey, you have experience and you have done this, so there's not really much of a risk. So I mean, people should have been more amicable to this the whole project and the idea. But I mean, then subsequently, you know, as you matured and you spent more and more time with the investors and their ICs, then we learned about it. So yeah, initial days for us also, yeah, it was a feeling that, hey, I mean, why doesn't it get subscribed when it comes from the banking veterans? But I mean, then you realize that it's not about you, it's about their own hypothesis, their own understanding, and their own framework. I mean, they also have a mandate that, hey, we want a consumer space, we want this space, we want that space, and their mandate has to align with your business model.
So you've raised over 22 million, is that right?
Yeah.
So is it pressure on or pressure off then?
Oh no! So as I said, that we did a bootstrap in the beginning, and that fundamentals of the style of business remains the same. So so burn, we were away from the burn after the 6 months of running the business, and so once you don't have a burn in the startup ecosystem, and then it's more like a business cycle management, and so that we have been doing fairly nicely. But yeah, I mean, from a business cycle point of view, you will have a pressure and all, but it is not the startup burn kind of a pressure. So that way, yes, I'm off the pressure, but you know, I mean, each of my investor right from the first round, they have been investing in every successive round. So it's more of a pressure from the employee as a CEO, you have a pressure from the customer, and you have a pressure from the shareholders or the investors who have trusted in you. So I would say it's more of a pressure from the employee, because, you know, I mean, we have lots of people who join just because we ask them to come in, and when they see systems at certain places crumbling, then you know it again comes back where you say that, hey, hold on, I mean, things are well, there's nothing wrong with it, because other than you, nobody has a complete view of the organization, and you also are limited in what you can say and what you cannot share because of your, I mean, the confidentiality ecosystem of the organization. So huge amount of pressure as far as the employee meeting customer this thing is concerned. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, from a running business point of view, I would not say that we have too much of pressure.
What's your biggest issue then?
Certain set of customers that we have been, certain set of products which we are doing, the market creation for those products, because what happens is that you do not try to burn humongous amount to create a market. So the market of categories of loans which we do, there are certain categories doesn't have a need, but it's more of a latent, because people don't know that this kind of product is available. So creating a customer aware is a very patient game in terms of SEO fashion, or being there in their purchase cycle, or being there in their behavioral journey. So that is more, that takes lots of time to imagine customer behavior and try to be on the right places, test out campaigns, hypothesis, and your assumptions, and then again go and try to scale it up. So yeah, that is something which keeps you up, because you continuously try to visualize what customer needs and test it, and then either cull it or scale. So that's something which being part of the customer journey is something which keeps you on a toe continuously. Because if you talk of like home loan, so home loan is a market. You go and advertise on a home loan, 10 people will come and search because they are searching for a home loan. Okay, but when you see a wedding loan, nobody is searching for a wedding loan, because wedding loan as a market has not been created by the financial institution. All they have been saying that, hey, this is paracetamol, you take it for whatever purpose you want to take, right? So they give a standard personal loan and they say that you can use it for wedding, you can use it for holiday, you can use it for medical kind of a situation, or you can use it for any other purpose. And here we are trying to say that, hey, wedding has its own nuances, so it needs to be addressed differently. So if you are going for a holiday, I mean, you typically, even your credit card will be swiped when you travel outside, and you will have a large expenses, so you do not want to come back and sit with a huge EMI payments from the next month or from the same month. You typically would like to have your installments and all lower in the beginning of the month, in the beginning of the couple of months when you come back from a holiday, and then I mean 1 month or 2 months down the line, once you have settled your card bill and all, then your capacity to pay increases manifold. So imagining this kind of a product, giving it to the customers, keeps you on the toe and making sure that customer knows that this is available.
Interesting. So in terms of attracting customers, then what's your best marketing strategy then? Is it Facebook? Is it SEO?
So in the first phase, so when we did LoanTap 1.0 and now we are in LoanTap 2.0. So in 1.0, it was mostly about the paid marketings at Google and Facebook and Insta and kind of platforms. But in 2.0, it is about SEO. And the second, we are having now driving lots of partnerships with the product manufacturers where we are as a product is only an enabler. Loan, nobody wants to buy a loan. People want to buy a car, people want to buy a holiday, people want to buy an experience. So they need a loan to finance that experience. So we are trying to work very closely with the travel portals. We are trying to work very closely with the wedding organizers as well as matrimony sites and all in India. We are working with electric vehicle manufacturers, which is emerging as a new sector in India, and particularly the kind of push which we have on environment nowadays, and government push on EV is very high. So we have been working with their manufacturer to bring in a unique proposition for the customer where they can own a bike in the same price or by paying the similar installment what they will be paying in terms of monthly running expenses of a bike in terms of gasoline fuel.
What excites you most then about this business?
The most exciting thing about this business is working very close with the customer. And loan by design is slightly powerful product in India. It is a pull product. It is not a push product. So you feel good about serving the customers, because you have grown up in a country which has been credit starved. So you have just too many people in the ecosystem whom you have helped in the last 20 years, and they appreciate it. And like somebody bought a house with your help, and they are happy in that house. So they still talk about it. Hey, I mean, Satyam was there, and so and so bank, and that point of time we were looking forward to this product. He helped us. It feels good about you, about the whole act of doing it. Not that you didn't do something very different, and you could have done it, but by the nature of the society where getting the credit has been a challenge, providing credit makes you feel satisfied. So where you say that, hey, I mean, somebody is looking forward to, somebody's parents has got hospitalized and you need some money now, because the hospital will not process anything else, because in India insurance is an underpenetrated market, so people have not bought enough insurance, and particularly for their parents and the elderly people. And then you come there and say that, hey, you want money in 2 hours, we'll make it available, don't worry, you go ahead and you do this program. I mean, you go ahead with the hospitalization and all. These are the big boosters to what you are doing. I mean, getting one or two stuff like this kind of a customer testimonials, feedbacks, keeps you going. I mean, we continuously receive sweet boxes in our office. Somebody got wedded or somebody bought a furniture, so they did a home pujas and all, and they had been happy about it. In India, people share happiness and people share sweets and all when they are happy. We do get it, it feels good about. I mean, we feel good about it.
You're sort of like making dreams come true.
Absolutely. So we say it, bringing dreams to life.
Yeah. You're helping people get married.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a dream wedding. So it's not only about getting married. In India, everyone wants to have a dream wedding. Yeah. I mean, the whole idea about the wedding comes in India from an ancient culture in a fashion that the particularly women the girls, they grow up with the idea of having a grand wedding, and the whole way the groom will come and all the stuff. So, somehow you feel good about it.
Yeah, you mentioned Diwali. Do you have any like special marketing strategies around that? Will that be a busy period for you?
Yeah, so Diwali is a big thing in India, and the whole festivity actually starts almost about 30-40 days before that, mm-hmm. because just before that you get this Dashahara or Navami or Navratra in a different part of the country. You mm-hmm. have you celebrate in different ways. So that is where the whole festive fervor starts picking up, and this is the time when people travel back to their natives. So in India has a huge migratory population working in the urban centers, and they go back to the native place, and the idea is that, hey, this guy has come back, so he will bring lots of gifts, he will bring lots of, the houses get redone, and you get paints and all done in the houses. So in this is a very busy season for us, and what we do typically is that we try to stay as close as possible to the customer. Mm. That is the first thing which we do. So we are trying to have in this, though we are a digital brand and we do all the things online, but this is a season where we try to work with the retailers. We go at their shop and we try to be physically present in terms of if the customer is experiencing any challenge in malls and all, we go and try to be present in terms of not that we are providing the loan there, but we are just trying to assist a customer if he is getting challenged on the web interfaces. Because in India, internets and all are still in some pockets, it's patchy. So you also try to have a physical face of it, because people trust you if you are accessible, or your call center is accessible, your people are accessible, or they can see you in person when they need it. So we that's what we try to do in this season. And discounts and all are for galore. So we try to work with manufacturers, product manufacturers and distribution point guys, and we try to build in no cost EMI schemes or lower EMI schemes. So there are a couple of things which tries to make a customer happy about the whole purchase in this season.
Yeah, but definitely busy time for you. How big do you want to go with this then?
So it's only 3 years, and we have been all you can say is that we are trying to build a good institution. So the larger institutions are almost about 100 times or 10,000 times larger than us as far as the banking ecosystem is concerned. The fintech ecosystem is still open, and in the fintech ecosystem we have a couple of players who are in a similar or similar looking businesses, and there we are trying to just cater to a certain customer need. So domestic needs are huge, Neil. In India. So can't really say how big we want to go. But yeah, our immediate target is to list the company on Indian bourses. So in India, you have a very strict listing guidelines and all in terms of profitability and the balance sheet size and all. And we look forward to list 3 years down the line. So that's the immediate challenge which we are trying to do. I would say, The institution and its journey will remain there. So, but as far as the management outlook is concerned, we are first level shareholder as well as employee. Confirmation to the whole idea will be at the time when you go to bourses, you are able to list it successfully.
Interesting. So, in this particular market of digital loans, then, are you like the big players or the minor players? You must be the big players, right? Because you've got 22 million in the bank.
We are large now.
I just want to quickly talk about you and your background. You're the finance background. I'm just interested in why finance.
I don't think that answer will be very catchy, but still, I would say we have been more of a destiny's child in a way, Neil. So, nobody in my family has worked in a private sector to tell you the first thing. Yeah. So most of my family members have been, my grandfathers have been into agrarian ecosystem. Mm. My parents moved into a government job, and all my siblings are into the government jobs, and most of them are into education sector. So private sector in India, when I chose to do, was still looked with suspicion that why somebody is going for a private sector. So it has been more of leaving the job and then again doing a startup was unimaginable back at my home. So I come from a relatively Mufassil town, which is very close to Patna and not so developed as far as the Bangalore, Bombay and Delhi markets are concerned. So yeah, in my system, I would say very few people could have thought that people will leave a cozy job to do this. So nothing has happened that I went on to design it. I just went on to keep on picking up one challenge to another challenge, and then by being there, I figured out, hey, why we can also do this. So it was more of a evolving that we have been, or I have been evolving with time. That's all I can say. I'm fairly open to the good things to do. And I would also attribute it in some extent that we came from a society where job creation was one of the biggest challenge. So doing a startup was also about when you were looking for a job, then all you thought that, hey, you want a 9-to-5 job, and then you move into a situation where you are able to create a job for the society. So in India, it's still employment is one of the biggest question mark for everyone. So that was one of the big most motivator why as far as doing startup was concerned, besides the product design angle that, hey, you want to give a better product to the customers. They don't deserve to be treated so badly, so shabbily. And as far as coming to finance was concerned, I used to work with after my MBA, I started working with a large UK-based manufacturing multinational, Imperial Chemical Industries. And then one day, ICICI Bank happened. Okay. And when everyone says that, hey, this is a very challenging career because ICICI Bank used to be one of the hard taskmaster, I said, oh, so let me try it out. So, and when we went there, so as I said, that lending is a slightly powerful product in India because you make people's dream true. So you become passionate about it. So my first career move in the finance was in the housing loan industry, and housing between 2004 to 2010 to 12 was one of the biggest wealth creator besides house as a need. It was also one of the biggest wealth creator for the masses, because masses didn't used to they don't have a multi-cap or they don't have a very defined investing strategy. All they used to buy is a house, and they used to buy another house, and the house prices went up. They felt very good about it. They got their family members married. They managed multiple expenses out of it. So you are part of a journey of creating wealth for the Indian masses. When the middle class was getting created, or the substantial chunk of middle class migrated from being a lower middle class to higher middle. So that's kind of a it's intoxicating. So you felt good about it. It's a high.
Honest. Yeah, definitely. So in terms of the startup then, what's been the most surprising thing then, looking back on your journey so far?
So I could not have imagined, coming from the family ecosystem, I could not have imagined that I'll do a startup, and that too in a where the capital will cease to be a constraint. Because as I said, that coming from a smaller towns or agrarian ecosystem, nobody does a business there because the capital is the biggest constraint, and here you are doing a business of a capital. So it's a biggest unimaginable shift as far as my own mindset is concerned. So for a long time, when you are doing a 9-to-5 job, and you say that, hey, if I want to do a business, maybe if somebody gives me about maybe $500,000 or something, I'll do a business where I can make a $250,000 a profit, and I'll be happy. And here, that also looks a challenge at that point of time, that, hey, who will give you $500,000, or how will you get a $500,000 US? And here you are doing something where you are, that there are millions there, and there will be more and more and more and more millions there, which will be again redistributing to the rightful places, and which will come back and create wealth for the others also. The biggest constraint of your growing days ceases to exist today.
Last few questions then. What advice would you give to our first time founders?
I would say perseverance is one of the biggest thing. So you need to be very high on that. And discipline. And the third is that you should be open. You should listen. You should listen to. You'll get lots of feedback, which you should listen. And even if you may not have a great model, it will evolve. We have seen many of the models getting evolved. So you should be. You should also be open to listening. And then you do what ultimately your gut says that, hey, this is the right thing. So because there's lots of decision making which gets involved. And most of the decision is done on half data or a partial data or maybe 40% to 60% of the data. You never have a full data to take a decision. So your gut as well as your intent, that what you're trying to do is a long term, matters most.
Recommend any books or blogs to our listeners? Anything that's helped you?
So we read, of course, so you, of late we have been implementing OKR. So the OKR strategies of John Doerr has been one of the great help across the organization as well as for the management team. And from time to time, on a personal note, one of the biggest book in India comes from Mr. Ramdhari Singh Dinkar, who has been one of the we call him national poet because he has been part of the India's war stories in 1965-62 and all when he was moving across the border, talking to the cadets on the front line and all, and many of those poems has been written by him, which keeps you up, which keeps your chin up in the tough time. So that's I also flirt with the lots of Hindi poetries and all, and that's where Mr. Rashmi Rathi helps. But on a management side, we have been picking up right practices globally, and we have been implementing. Seven Habits is one of the greatest book of all time. You have multiple models there which you can adopt individually as well as across organization. And I believe OKR is one of the greatest book which can help the startups in scaling up, because everyone in the early days want to see the traction, and there's no better way to drive a traction other than managing it OKR way.
No, good stuff. And any hobbies and interests?
So, I'm adventure sports enthusiast. Mm-hmm. So the lowest form of it could be traveling, but the highest form is that, I'm trained parasailer, so I do paragliding, and then I do skiing, snow skiing, and rafting. So in India, you have some of the greatest natural places to do a rafting, particularly Ganges and all, and in the northern part of the country. And now that we live in the Deccan Plateau, that's Pune, you have great paragliding sites.
Any near disasters?
No
broken legs.
But that's not to do with you. I have a broken shoulder and all, with the adventure sports. But it's more about riding and all. So I have a broken shoulder.
Okay. God. Oh dear. Do you have any like heroes, business heroes, people you admire?
Yeah, so Kumar Mangalam Birla has been all time great. He transformed an organization which has everything. The age of average age of employees and the shape and the way he got the business. He transformed the whole organization to a very different level without creating a noise in the ecosystem. Without the whole country going gaga about, very silently hidden. So that's one part as far as the business is concerned. Another hero which in last 5-7 years I have started talking or I've been started admiring is Amitabh Bachchan. He has come back from being down multiple times, and he has reinvented. Many of us are not able to reinvent once we go down he had his physical challenges when he got hit badly during one of the movie shoot. He came back very strongly after that. Then he had the financial challenges when the entire company went into bankruptcy again. At that level, you decided to reinvent yourself and pick up a TV, which was not such a big platform at that point of time. Everyone used to see lowly. So he actually picked up the platform, and he took it to a very different level where you had all the stars started lining up for it. So the whole television industry got a very different lift just because of the way he approached that business. And then other thing which I like about the softer side of him is that, there's just many of us who do a great job, and we will go down the history, and after a couple of years or a couple of decades, people's memory will fail and we'll just get wiped out. He has kept his father, who is a Hindi poet, alive. Okay, so there are multiple Hindi poets who were contemporary of Harivansh Rai Bachchan, but today everyone talks about Harivansh Rai Bachchan because Amitabh has been reciting him again and again in a way where people love it. So his oratory skill combined with his ability to recite those poems from heart and talking about those moments, I think that's a great achievement and we must admire him for what he has done in under all three situations, for carrying the legacy, for coming back from a physical challenges, and then again coming back from the financial challenges. So he has demonstrated everything.
I can't let you go without, you know, giving us, our listeners, some financial advice. Obviously, you've been doing it for the last 20 years. Come on. Save it for a rainy day, probably.
Yeah, so I've been doing a loan also, so I would say that you need to be...
Yeah, take out
you
a
need
loan.
To, yeah, you need to see what is making sense. So, you know, if you can take a loan which gives you a higher return in a certain asset class, take a loan, so be judicious. I mean, don't treat it as just another decision. You should be more disciplined about it. So financial discipline is as good as doing a yoga or anything, because it's about your mental health. So it really affects you badly if your financial discipline is not so great. So it's as good as having a fitness regime, having a yoga regime. Similarly, you should have a good financial discipline around it.
Why do you think people don't then?
People get carried away typically, Neil, in the moment. So people get carried away. Hey, I mean, and people are generally optimistic about their future. So it's good. I mean, we all must be optimistic about future. But at all the time, you should always try to put a prism that, hey, what if this, what situation happens, will I be able to carry at this burden at that point of time? So you always have to measure your liabilities at the lowest point. Will you be able to carry it forward nicely when you are at the lowest point in your career?
Yeah, what's your view on Bitcoin then?
So there are use cases of this kind of a currencies, but you know, unless until regulator comes clean, because now the government, the business, wherever you have a regulator involved, you should not try and keep your eye away from the what the government or how the regulator are speaking. So any business which is a regulated business, or where the regulators are talking about it, you should be careful, mind the words of regulators before you get in, because you know, I mean, the government works very nicely. I mean, you have one government, you have another government, and they will make one announcement, and with one sweeping change, everything crumbles down, or everything goes up. So this is a very difficult zone. It's not a business risk. It is about a regulator risk, or it's about a very different kind of a risk, which you are none of us are in a position to really influence or in a position to understand. So there, I think we should any investment where you have a regulatory conflict, or you should try to hear that conflict, and you should try to stay away as long as the regulator is not confirming. So the countries where the regulator and the government are on the side, it's a great thing to do. But the countries where the regulators, including India, where the regulators are so much against it, or even if you see in India, most of the regulatory approval has been happening in incremental manner. It is not happening in a one shot strategic fashion. So the approval for shareholding changes and all also comes, oh, first I'll give 26%, then I'll go to 49%, so it's all incremental. So this kind of places you can't afford to shut your eyes from and ear from what regulator is talking or showing you.
No, that's definitely interesting stuff. If someone wants to do a fintech startup, what's the main advice you want to give them?
It's a great thing to do in India. You have a huge opportunity as far as the fintech is concerned, but don't try to have only tech brain or only the tech obsession about it. Try to make a strong business use case, because now everyone is talking of profitability, and you should not have in mind that the exit to the investor will happen by the secondary or tertiary sale. You should have that how the investor exits you should talk about, and also you should say what value you are bringing to the customer. It is not about the solving the problem of the banks, or it is not about the solving the problem of a technology journey. It is about creating the value for the customer. If there is a value for the customer in India, I think there's a great story. It's a big demographic advantage, and it's growing at a very fast pace. So like Indian journey in the next 8 years will be a similar journey as far as the financial services is concerned to what happened in last decade in China. So I mean, there's a lot to do in India now.
You'll be a very busy man.
Yeah, yes.
no more hang gliding.
Nothing. I mean, whether it's Saturdays, Sundays, you know, you have things which is just going on. Somewhere you have to visit a customer, somewhere you have to to see an activities, engagement, or just strategize, because I mean everything keeps you busy. It's like a 24/7 job, so you have to continuously visualize the challenges or the improvements.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, either way.
Last question then, for people who want more information on LoanTap, what must they do?
So on a customer side, you know, our web interfaces are fairly open, and we have talked about each and everything in on our web interface about LoanTap. And you know, it's easy to from a investor or a lender ecosystem, it's very easy to reach us. You can just type in your email ID, satyam@loantap.in. Even if you're a customer, write to us, you'll get responded. As far as the customer is concerned, we have a very omni-channel approach. You write on Facebook, you get addressed. You write on WhatsApp, you get addressed. You write on LinkedIn, Twitter, wherever you write. I don't want you to come and fill a long form that if you ask me in this format, then only I'll revert. So I think our response pattern is omni-channel. And as far as if you want to speak to me, just write satyam@loantap.in and you'll have the response from LoanTap and as well as me.
Excellent. Just one last question then. How many loans get defaulted then?
Oh, so the ecosystem has traditionally about 2% default rate, yeah, as far as the Bureau or overall Reserve Bank of India data is concerned. If you are doing it better, which we believe we are doing it better, the loss ratios are approximately 1%. It's slightly, as of now, it's less than 1%, but yes, it will stabilize at 1%.
Okay, interesting. Satyam, thank you for coming on the show today.
Pleasure speaking to you, Neil. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me on this one.
Thanks for listening to the show today. I shall be back next week. And thanks to Manning Publications for supporting the podcast. Please use discount code PODINSTARTUP19 and get 40% off all Manning products today. Please follow them on Twitter @ManningBooks or facebook.com/ManningBooks and get exclusive discounts, product announcements, author news, and great content. Manning Publications now offers regional pricing for Indian residents. Check out Manning.com for pricing in rupees. These include 0 to AI, Fighting Churn with Data, Machine Learning for Business. Go to Manning.com and use code PODINSTARTUP19 to get 40% off. Thank you and goodbye.